2, The Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. And check out Dr. Oz and Dr. Roizen's website, youbeauty.com. Here are Joe Galewski, Dr. Deb Lonser, and of course, Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
Check us out weekly, the passionate radio show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen, the Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic. I'm Joe Galewski. To reach the show today by phone, 877-711-5211, 877-711-5211, udocs@gmail.com, youdocs at gmail.com. Miss a segment, radiomd.com. Would like to hear a show over radiomd.com. And we thank you for listening today. At 34 past the hour, it's Straight Talk from the Docs. And Dr. Arthur Perry joins in. What's the game plan today?
Well, we're going to talk about three things. The first is a new study that shows that 90% of young women believe they have to look younger than men to do as well in business. And believe it or not, it's 60% between 45 and 65 believe they have to look younger than men and younger than their calendar age to do well at their job. And so we're going to discuss that with Arthur and what it means. Also, four new uses for Botox and four other companies other than the original Allergan selling Botox. And also something about prophylactic antibiotics, that is antibiotics given for surgery when they're just there to prevent something rather than treat an infection. We'll see what he says about that.
Straight Talk from the Docs, 34 past the hour. How about a real age tip? Do you have a real age tip to you want to convey to us before the end of the hour?
Oh, I do. It's cut heart disease risk and lose weight. Just eat. And I'm not going to tell you what you got to just eat. You're going to have to tune in.
Good. Before the end of the hour. The real age tip of the week. In between, we'll fill with, oh, we know Phil. This is actually terrific information. It's not filler. It's great, great information. It's some of the top medical stories of the week. And again, udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. You want to talk about DHA supplements and some benefits of those, right?
That's right. There's a really good study out from Australia, New Zealand, actually. I put the two together. It's a randomized controlled trial. This is of people who weren't getting much DHA in their diet. And what they did is they supplemented it with 1.1 grams. That's a fair amount. That's amount of you'd get if you ate salmon 4 ounces three times a week. So it's a good amount. I eat the salmon three times a week and take about 900 milligrams a day. So you can see how much I believe in it. But they substantially improved their memory and their reaction time. This was adults 17 to 45. Prior to this, we have studies that people who are over the age of 60 with minimal cognitive dysfunction, just the starts of memory dysfunction, who took 900 milligrams a day, that's why I take 900 milligrams a day, decreased their memory loss to that of someone who was about 7 years younger. And we know in kids, whether they're during pregnancy, that's why most prenatal vitamins have DHA in it, or whether they're fourth to sixth graders getting DHA, about 200 milligrams for fourth to eighth to sixth grader, and it was about 32 milligrams when in utero, that is the mom taking at least 32 milligrams, that it improved their IQ and their scores on test scores for kids by about 6 points in their IQs and their test scores by about the same in their IQ tests and other tests later in life.
I was meant to ask you, when you talk about studies, we talk a lot about studies on the show every week, what happens to them? I mean, we hear about a study. What is the trip of you know what I'm saying? What happens to a study? I mean, we hear about it, and then how is it implemented? What's the evolution of a study, or how does a study become part of a grander plan?
Well, what usually happens is that you look for preponderance of data. That is, so when we did Real Age, we said it had to have four studies. One had to be what we call randomized controlled trial, which is the gold, if you will, the gold standard of studies. And when it does that, then gradually it seeps into medical practice. And if a group, such as a brain group, that's a, for example, the Neurology Society grabs it, it tends to seep in a little faster, but it's not real fast. The average time from a study to it being implemented by 50% of the docs, that is a preponderance of data, is about 12 years. So it doesn't happen fast. So, for example, I said today that there's a study from New Zealand, this one on DHA, where they gave 1.1 grams to people who were otherwise not getting a lot of omega-3s, that it increased their reaction time by about a third and decreased, that is, they sped up by about a third, and it decreased their memory loss or improved their memory by about a third of a standard deviation, which is a substantial amount. And by that, that was a randomized controlled trial in about 176 people, half men, half women, between the ages of 17 and 45. Well, that's about the fourth study on DHA improving memory. And as I said, there's been one in 60 to 65-year-olds. There's been one in 55 to 60-year-olds. There's been one now in 17 to 45-year-olds. There's been one in fourth to sixth graders. And there's been one in women during pregnancy. So all of these seem to be on the same side of things, that if you otherwise don't get a lot of omega-3s, you should supplement. And so it'll take a little time, but that'll eventually get translated and people will buy into it.
So when you talk about a study on the show every week, how should listeners take that? Should they take it as being true? You know what I'm saying? How does we always try to benefit the listener on the show. When you talk about a study, what should a listener do with that information you talk about?
Well, if we talk about it on this show,
yeah,
and we say the action item is to take 1.1 grams of DHA, or in this case, I would say we don't have a real dose response curve, but I would tell everybody over the age of probably 20 that they should be taking 900 milligrams of DHA a day as a supplement. That's the action item, and so I really believe in that. And I'll tell you the data that supports it, and I'll try and help you understand how strong that data is. So,
do studies typically turn out to be true eventually?
Well, the preponderance of data studies, meaning if you have four studies that show the same result, that tends to have long-standing truth. Mm-hmm. And that's why we go with four studies, because it tends to be good.
It's also important to look at who's funding the studies, because a lot of times there are certain organizations that are funding research that would totally just be beneficial to their company. So that's important to look at. And I think the good thing that Dr. Roizen does is he talks about, too, the population size of the study and how long the participants were followed, which are two like really important things that, you know, you could have a study with 10 people and that's going to be totally different and mean so many other things if you compared to like a study that followed 500,000, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so over time, though, eventually it's proven out one way or the other. But again, you qualify these studies with some evidence that's based on some historical fact, I think is what I'm
right,
trying to say.
Right, and we try and give people action steps at the end of every one of our shows, Joe.
Yeah, oh, very good. Okay. More top medical stories of the week coming up after the break. Should you eat fruit if you're a diabetic? Should you? Really? And how much money can you save on a plant-based Mediterranean diet? Is it a little easier on the wallet? You may be surprised by what Dr. Mike has to say about that. And energy drinks and blood pressure. We'll talk about that, too. It's You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening and stay well.
Are you tired of getting sick and tired? Are you tired of doctors not knowing what's wrong with you? D-Herbs may have the answer. D-Herbs, number one in herbal remedies. D-Herbs' main goal is to enlighten and properly educate people to the importance of human health and nutrition. D-Herbs, home of the full body cleanse. Everyone needs to cleanse. If you eat meat and dairy products, you need to cleanse. If you're eating processed foods, you need to cleanse. 90% of today's diseases that we suffer from are diet related. Cleansing opens a door to healing and rejuvenation. Whether you need help with a chronic disease, weight loss, or to jumpstart and eliminate fatigue, D-Herbs Full Body Cleanse can help. There's a better way to live and healthier way to live. Experience healing. Visit us at dherbs.com. That's D-H-E-R-B-S.com. Or call us at 866-434-3727. That's 866-434-3727.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize your message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours. All of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. October 8th through the 14th is National Fire Prevention Week, a great time to brush up on fire safety skills. We've all heard of stop, drop, and roll, but there's also the first up, last out rule. This method was developed after studies revealed that children don't always wake up when a fire alarm sounds. Even if they do, they are often disoriented and confused by the noise and commotion. Under these circumstances, children may decide it's safer to hide under the bed or in a closet than venture out into the darkness and smoke. First up, last out aims to avoid that situation. When a smoke alarm goes off, the first person up, usually an adult, is responsible for finding and ushering everyone out of the house. So while a working smoke detector more than doubles your chance of surviving a fire, it is also important to ensure that no one gets left behind. And for more information on children's health and safety, visit www.aap.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
I want to thank Morning and Night Multivitamins and YouBeauty.com putting us on the air every week. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike, Dr. Arthur Perry at 34 past the hour. Straight talk from the docs. We are talking a lot today about sodium. 75% of baby foods are high in sodium. And 650 milligrams per serving. How about that? Most baby foods have too much sodium in it. So,
that's crazy.
Yeah, I just looked that up during the break while we were, I was kind of surfing around and found out.
Well, in fact, what you would call salt is a genetic taste this is even making it feed into that taste.
Mm-hmm.
And you can probably get away from salt by using spices, etc. So I think there is an important message here that we probably should use spices and other things early in life rather than salt, so that we can modify the taste early in life. Maybe that's why we eat so much salt later in life.
Right. Is flu season over, Dr. Mike?
You know, I have not looked at this in a while. So I can't tell you, but I think I'll get on the website right now. And the last time I looked, which was about 3 weeks ago, it was clearly declining substantially.
Yeah.
So let's just look at.
While you look that up, I will tell you that so far this flu season, nationally, 105 kids have died, according to the CDC, from the flu, and 90% of those kids didn't get the vaccine.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, it is. It's amazing. Yeah. It's actually interesting. Although it is declining substantially in the United States, it is now at the fourth highest level in the last 10 years, whereas we got to, in late December, early January, the highest level we had ever had a flu outbreak in the last 10 years. Now it's at a level that's higher than, it's about a third of where it was. But it is still, for example, in Michigan, the flu is still high. In Kentucky, the flu is still high. In Tennessee, it's still high. In Georgia, it's still high. Most of the rest of the country has moved to moderate or low, and none of the country has that intensity that the entire country had at the end of December and beginning of January.
They say the allergy season coming up is going to be severe, too. I tell you, a lot of people that I knew got this year, not necessarily the flu, but it's this upper respiratory infection. I had a lot of people who had that. I had that for about a month back in January because I did sound awful in those months. But I knew a lot of people who had that upper viral thing, a lot of phlegm and congestion in the nose and the throat. That's what a lot of people seemed to have to me this past winter season.
Well, I can truly believe that, but why do they think the allergy season is going to be? You know this from your other show. Why do they think the allergy season is going to be so bad this year?
I got to find it. In the meantime, I will tell you about that in a minute. I just saw the headline. Talk about the benefits, economic benefits of a Mediterranean
diet. Yeah. They taught people who were in the inner city to eat Mediterranean, and then they let them shop and cook. And it turned out that a fairly substantial percentage of them were able to follow it, and those that did saved more than 50% of their total food budget per individual. It was over $40 a week was saved. Now, we in Cleveland have this plan with Dave's, which is an inner-city market, where we have 93 recipes a month and 31 snacks a month, so a snack a day and three meals a day, and you get money back from food stamps and WIC. So it is, in fact, a very economical way of eating, because you even get money back from the food stamp program, which usually you have to supplement. So you can eat healthy, and not only that, but healthy eating is actually less expensive than eating that makes you diseased, even excluding the fact that you have to treat the diseases.
Now, you want to know why allergy season is going to be bad, right?
I do.
Okay. They say it's going to begin, number one, begin about 2 weeks earlier than normal, and they're expected to last about 30 days longer than normal through October. Higher carbon dioxide levels in the air and lots of wet weather in late winter. The combination puts plants in overdrive, producing 3 to 5 times more pollen.
So wet weather.
Wet weather.
And?
And the wet weather producing higher carbon dioxide levels.
I got to say, since it's cold there and cold here, we're going to have a shorter growing season. I mean, anything that was budding just got killed here.
Yeah, obviously this is a national thing. It takes takes into account, you know, all over the country. But that's pretty much why they say allergies are going to be bad. Eating fruit if you're a diabetic, yay or nay, Dr. Mike?
Eating fruit. Well, people say, well, the fruit has too much sugar in it. Maybe you shouldn't eat it. But in fact, this was a study in diabetics, and when they ate it, they actually got younger, got healthier, and lost weight. So, yes, fruit is fine. They ate four servings a day, as opposed to one in the control group. But the group that was told to eat fruit, who was diabetic, actually lost more weight and ended up with better blood sugar control than the group that did not eat fruit.
Very good. Fantastic. Let's continue on. Dr. Arthur Perry at 34 past the hour. The story about energy drinks and blood pressure, what's the connection?
Yeah, this is an interesting story, and it's a tough one to explain. You get more heart arrhythmias, more abnormal heartbeats, if you have a longer QT interval. That's the interval between when your heart contracts and when it recovers. So the longer your recovery period, the more likely you are to have an abnormal heart rhythm. And what they showed is that the people who were drinking the energy drinks for several hours after they drank one of these energy drinks, and it doesn't happen after coffee, that's the strange thing, after the energy drink, they lengthened their QT interval by about 10 milliseconds. If you lengthen it by 30 milliseconds, you're very much more likely to have arrhythmias. Well, so if you have a little extra lengthening because of a genetic predisposition or something else that's happening to you, or another medication you're taking, and you take an energy drink, you can prolong it right into the heart arrhythmia area, which may cause the deaths that have been reported from energy drinks. The second thing is that happens with coffee as well, is that if you, in the couple hours after you take the energy drinks, you raise your systolic blood pressure, that's the upper number, the higher number when the heart's contracting, by about 2.5 millimeters of mercury. Not very much, but enough to cause a problem over the population as a whole if everyone did this very often. But I don't think that's as much a concern in that short period of time for the death risk as is this prolongation of what we call the QT interval.
I'm nervous about taking those drinks. I've never had one. I'm nervous about taking those energy
drinks. Well, don't start now.
No, I don't need to.
Well,
no, go ahead.
The scary thing isn't that they've got caffeine, because caffeinated water and caffeine in coffee, no big problems, or in tea. The problem is the other things that are with it, and many of those other things seem to have both problems that we can spot. There's an article coming out in a couple weeks, so I can't say it too early, but that we'll talk about that shows that many of the other things in it and that bodybuilders routinely take may be dangerous for their health.
All right. Can't wait to hear that one. In the meantime, we'll take a break here and be back. It's called Straight Talk from the Docs. It's Dr. Arthur Perry time. udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com with Dr. Arthur Perry and Dr. Mike's Real Age Tip before the end of the hour. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen, right here on Radio MD. Stay well.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody. So get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world. It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. The U.S. is experiencing an increase in the number of cases of whooping cough. This is a serious illness caused by pertussis bacteria. It often starts with what seems like a common cold. Then, especially for toddlers, the cough worsens and leads to the characteristic whoop sound on inhaling. During this phase of the illness, which usually lasts more than 2 weeks, the child can get short of breath and the skin around the mouth may turn blue. Older children may cough so hard they vomit. The illness can be particularly deadly for infants who can develop complications such as pneumonia and seizures. Whooping cough is highly contagious and can spread to children who have not been vaccinated. The best way to prevent this dangerous illness is to be sure your child received all doses of the pertussis vaccine. This is usually given as the DTaP vaccine. And for more information on preventing whooping cough, visit www.cisp.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
I didn't think it was anything.
I had pain in my abdomen. It just wouldn't go away.
I was spotting, but I had already gone through menopause.
These symptoms may be nothing, but they could be early warning signs of a gynecologic cancer, such as cervical, ovarian, or uterine cancer.
Seeing my doctor probably saved my life.
Warning signs are not the same for everyone. If you think something's wrong, see your doctor. Ask about gynecologic cancer. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO for more information. A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Tour de Cure, and it's more than just a bike ride. It's a celebration. It's where every turn of the pedal helps stop diabetes. Where cyclists of all levels come together to make a difference, to raise money, and to raise hope. It's the ride of your life. It's Tour de Cure. Register today at diabetes.org/tour. That's diabetes.org/tour.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission, to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
And now back to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And now joining Drs. Roizen and Lonzer is renowned plastic surgeon, Dr. Arthur Perry.
And this is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. You can ask Arthur or myself or Bridget a question. Just email us at udocs, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S, at gmail.com, udocs at gmail.com. We've had a number of comments how good our guest was in the earlier segment or show, the earlier hour. You can find all of our guests, all of our shows archived at radiomd.com. Miss a show, you didn't miss anything, just go to radiomd.com, look for that date under the You, the Owner's Manual archives, and you can listen in, even download a podcast. So, Arthur, there's this wonderful story about women feeling they have to look younger to succeed than men of the same age to succeed in business. How good was the study? How big was it? Was it really scientific, or is it just a bit of BS, bad science that may be real?
Well, you know, Mike, this actually, I'm not sure we could call it science, because this was published in that very important medical journal called Allure magazine.
But they have a big panel. So how big was the study? Yeah. How many people did they talk to?
They polled 2,000 people, and that's pretty good, men and women. And, you know, they wanted to see how they felt about how they looked when they aged, you know, and, you know, whether or not aging was important to them, whether their appearance was important to them. Was it more important to men or women? So, Mike, here's what they found. And this is sort of like, well, I get it. 90% of people think that women are under more pressure to look younger than men. Now, doesn't that make sense? It makes sense to all of us.
90% of everyone of all ages, and they asked a bunch for different ages, that 90% of everybody said that women were under more pressure to look better than men.
Younger.
Yep. And doesn't that make sense? Because 90% of all cosmetic surgery...
I can tell you, Bridget looks a lot better than you do.
That's not true.
I don't doubt that. But, you know, interesting that you say that, Mike, because they also ask people at what age from childhood to in the nursing home, what age do people look the best? And interestingly, they said women look the best. No, Bridget, not at age 19 or whatever you are.
I can tell you it's age 36.
I'm older
it's
than
age 30.
30.
I think go.
Age 30 for women, all right, and 34 for men.
Actually, do you know if you look from a peak in physiologic functioning, if you don't do anything about it, you just look at gene function, men in athletic functioning hit their peak at age 28, women at age 36.
Okay. So this was an interesting study, Mike. And they found that 42% of women between 50 and 60 said they felt they needed to look young to be successful at work. And that's pretty interesting. Now, that's double the number of men. Only 20 or so percent of men thought that. Isn't that interesting? So as men get older, they did not think it was that important to look young and to look good, but women definitely do. And,
but
of course,
women,
that's reflected.
It was less as they got older. You said it was 90% overall, but only 45% between 55 and 65.
That's right.
So it gets less needy as they get older.
Interesting.
Is that right?
Now, here's a part of this study. You're going to love this one, Mike. They were asked to name celebrities who have aged well. So now, I'm going to ask
Clint
Bridget.
Clint Eastwood.
Because... Nope. Bridget.
Yes.
Who do you think is an older celebrity that has aged well?
I would say, I think Jennifer Aniston has aged really well. And
No. Well, I'm sorry. Let's talk about men first. Sorry.
Okay.
Wasn't Clint Eastwood?
I would say
nope.
George Clooney would have
well.
To be on that.
Oh, George Clooney, right. Sorry.
That is number one. You're very good.
Thank you.
you're good. That's exactly who came in number one. And then came Sean Connery, Bill Clinton, Brad Pitt, Richard Gere, and Michael Roizen. No, that's not. It wasn't Mike Roizen. Sorry, Mike. He jumped out of his seat there. Sorry.
You should have seen his face light up when he thought he made the list.
Now, for women, it was Meryl Streep, Jamie Lee Curtis, and Julia Roberts. They were considered to have aged the best for women, although they're, Julia Roberts is not that old. I think she's only about 40, late 40s.
Yeah.
And the older I get, the younger that gets.
I'm trying to think of the one celebrity that my dad, loves. She's really pretty.
Don't say that on the air. Your mother will hear. All right. So anyway, the interesting study, not true science, but, you know, if you really look at this, it had the correct number of people, and probably if it was done just a little bit differently, it might have been publishable in one of our journals. So that's the story, Mike.
There are four companies that are now producing Botox. First of all, let's say, is there any reason, do they all charge about the same? And secondly, has the price come down since there are four companies rather than just one? And is there any reason, if the price is all competitive, to choose the non-original brand? which we know has the good stuff.
All right. So now Allergan has been around forever. That's the company that makes True Botox, and that's the brand name. So we call it Botox. We call all of them Botox, but that's not fair because it's botulinum toxin. And there are three companies that are now FDA approved. And the big announcement last week, which is why we're talking about this, was Johnson & Johnson said they're ready to submit their application to the FDA for their product, which I think is going to be called PureTox, which is a great name. So J&J, when they get into the game, that's a big gun, as we call it. And they're going to give Allergan a run for the money. So now the market is enormous.
Why do you think they will give Allergan a run for the money? Wouldn't you, if the prices were similar, which is probably what's going to happen, wouldn't you go with the original stuff?
Well, you know, I'm not so sure because the data is going to show, as it's already showing, that there's no real difference between these products. So they last about the same amount of time. They take the same amount of time to start working. There's no drug advantage, one or the other. So that means, Mike, it's going to come down to marketing, and it's going to come down to what products the company has that doctors already use that they can kind of combine in marketing. And what I'm talking about is, Johnson & Johnson has the market, the biggest share of the market for breast implants. So they're already in plastic surgeons' offices. That gets the representatives in there.
Now, but Allergan has to be in there for the Latisse, right?
They're in there for Latisse. They also have their brand of breast implants.
You talked about a new brand of implants. Was that marketed by either Allergan or Johnson & Johnson? Remind us about the new brand and new type of implants.
Yep. The one that came out about 3 weeks ago, yes, was Allergan. They are the ones. They got their approval before Johnson & Johnson. So, you know, they're battling head-to-head, Mike. But the advertising dollars is what is going to drive this one. The advertising, because Botox's model is to go straight to the consumer, and Johnson & Johnson will do the exact same thing. They've got a lot of money behind them. It's going to be interesting next year.
And so you think there will be a battle? Will there be a battle on price, do you think? Will that price advantage get passed to, if you will, us consumers?
My bet is no. My bet is no, and I'll tell you why when we return from the break.
We'll be right back. We're talking with Dr. Arthur Perry, the key guy in plastic surgery. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to greatstartgtl.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at greatstartgtl.com. That's greatstartgtl.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to greatstartgtl.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
If you know the symptoms and get the facts, you'll know the signs of a heart attack. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if it sounds familiar, call 911.
Pain in your neck, chest,
arms, or jaw,
shortness of breath,
please tell us more. Cold sweats and nausea, tiredness,
it's time to take it serious.
Back pain, stomach pain, shortness of breath, cold sweats, nausea, dizziness. If you know the symptoms and heed the signs, you'll be around for a long, long time. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911.
Learn a song that could save your life. Get a free download at womenshealth.gov/heartattack.
Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911.
If any sound familiar, call 911.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
I am a face of influenza.
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 We all are faces of influenza.
I'm a mom. And I'm a face of influenza. Health officials now recommend everyone 6 months of age and older get immunized against influenza this
and every year.
Vaccination is safe and is the best way to help protect yourself and your family from contracting and spreading the flu.
We all are faces of influenza.
See your healthcare provider about getting immunized. The American Lung Association urges everyone 6 months of age and older, and we mean everyone, to get vaccinated.
Visit facesofinfluenza.org.
Influenza is serious. So are we. Get vaccinated.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. Kids often test parental limits and rules, and sometimes parents decide enough is enough. That's when a timeout may be effective. Timeouts stop children from getting attention after they misbehave. Timeouts work best for children between the ages of 2 and 5, but can be effective for kids as old as 10 in some cases. A rule of thumb is 1 minute of timeout for every year of your child's age. For example, a 4-year-old would get a 4-minute timeout. Some guidelines for a timeout. Give the timeout immediately after the unacceptable behavior so your child knows why she's being disciplined. Explain clearly why the behavior was unacceptable. Calmly place your child in a quiet, boring, but secure place. If she gets up, quietly explain that her timeout isn't over and return her to her seat. When it is over, wipe the slate clean and remember to praise your child each time and every time she shows acceptable behaviors. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
And now back to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here are the You Docs, Dr. Michael Roizen and Dr. Arthur Perry.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. You can get in on the conversation, as others have recently, by just emailing us. The question, Arthur, is why would you not buy the original if they all cost about the same thing? And why would you not pass that savings on? And why will dermatologists and plastic surgeons not pass that savings on to customers?
Well, you know, Mike, it's a great question. When I do Botox, I don't consider it that I'm buying and reselling a drug. I'm doing a procedure. You know, I'm doing a procedure, and there's a fee for my procedure. So, you know, you see people charge by the unit, which I don't think is appropriate, because it does tend to have doctors use more Botox, for instance. If they want to get more money for the treatment, and so they'll use more Botox if they charge by the unit. I charge by the procedure, so it doesn't matter if I'm paying a certain amount for the Botox, a little less with one company, a little more for the other. It really wouldn't make a difference to me. So the doctor is going to be charging probably the same fee. I mean, there might be some that will buy the cheaper product, and if there is one, and then try and pass that along to get volume sales, you know, volume customers. You know, it'll be interesting, but I actually don't think there's going to be all that big a difference in the ultimate sales price of the four. And I think it's still an oligopoly when there's only four involved. You know, I don't know this for a fact, but I would believe that, you know, there's a little price setting probably. And I'm not sure about that, and whether or not it happens or not, you know, I don't know, but I can't imagine it doesn't, because otherwise one of those products would probably be priced at about $100 instead of $500, and they're all pretty close. Kind of like cable TV, you know, you've got one choice or another choice, they're about the same price.
Now, so, tell us quickly, Arthur, because we have only about 3 minutes, the new uses for Botox that have been approved by the FDA.
Well, not approved by the FDA. These are just new uses that have been published. You know, it takes an awful long time for the companies to get FDA approval, but they're considered off-label uses, and they're perfectly legal. They're allowed. So the most interesting one was the Botox rhinoplasty. Botox rhinoplasty. This is so cool. We, the nostrils flare. I see you flaring them right now when you're talking to me. You flare your nostrils and raise them up so we can knock out the muscle that flares the nostril and drop the nostril down. That's a very interesting use of Botox.
Well, that flare is supposed to be when you're excited or captivated or physically attracted to someone.
That's right. So now you won't be able to show it, Mike. You'll have to show it with chocolate instead. All right. So the other one, since we're running out of time, is they use Botox now to decrease oiliness of the forehead skin.
Oh, very interesting. I need that. I need that so badly.
Oh, right.
No, my forehead gets so oily. I use tea tree oil papers.
Anyway, so Arthur, so that's the two new uses. And how much you must have to put a whole bunch of stuff down for that use for the, if you will, the oil forehead.
Where do you put it? 20 units, about 20 units, and it's placed about a quarter inch apart in a whole bunch of injections in the forehead, and it'll do the job.
So it's just a few units. Many units. Injections.
Mm-hmm. About 20 injections I do get those 20
Would
units.
Would you say, though, that it's good to have oily skin, that it, like, reduces your wrinkles as you age?
No. Usually oily. It's a complex topic, and it differs by the age. So someone that's 15 like you, Bridget, it's different than someone who's 40 like Mike. So it's a very complex topic. Maybe another day we'll talk about oily skin and what we can do for it.
Yeah, I would love that.
And let's do that next week. Oily skin and what we can do for it coming up next week. But right now, it's the Real Age Tip of the Week. And this is one of my favorites because Bridget brought one in for me today. That's right. Cut heart disease risk and lose weight. It's a simple solution, a few walnuts and an apple. We you docs don't take it personally if you start munching an apple today to keep the doctor away. In fact, we might take it badly if you don't. New evidence just keeps on polishing, the apple of this biblical fruit, or the reputation of this biblical fruit, kicking it up from the Garden of Eden temptation to an age-defying miracle food. That's right. Apples can reduce inflammation in your body, lower your lousy LDL cholesterol, protect your ticker, and even help you lose weight. Not bad for a fruit that got Adam in such trouble. Even if you don't change one thing in your diet, simply eating a couple apples a day for 6 months reduces your artery-blocking LDL cholesterol by a stunning 20%. That's not all. The apple's pectin, found in the skin, wash it carefully, really wash it, because that's where the pesticides reside, if you will. The apple's pectin and anti-aging polyphenols don't just increase your fiber intake, which obviously is good for your overall health and regularity. They also reduce inflammation, cut your risk of cell and artery damage, which can lead to heart damage, by a bigger 30%. That'll do your heart good big time. Exactly how apple happy do you need to get? Aim for 2 to 3 fresh red beauties a day. For variety, 2.5 ounces of other apples will also do the trick. Or occasionally add 500 milligrams of apple pectin at the start of each meal. Mehmet does it with his green drink. He blends them in. That's the equivalent to 6 apples. The final kicker, you'll lose weight too. Even though the study participants added 240 extra calories a day from apples, they wound up losing 3.3 pounds at the end of 6 months, more than the other group. So bake them, sauce them, sprinkle them with cinnamon, add them to your oatmeal, and start eating your way to heart health. The Real Age effect of the U diet, that's the full U on a diet, the owner's manual to waste management, or a healthy moderation of the Mediterranean diet, that's right, 27 years younger than a fast food diet, or 13 years younger than most American diets. And that's the Real Age Tip of the Week. We'll be back next week, we hope you are, with young Dr. Perry, Joe Galuski, Bridget, and myself, answering your questions and trying to help you be the world's expert on your body. Thanks to Dr. Barnard today, Power of Foods for the Brain, Power Foods for the Brain, an effective three-step plan to protect your mind, to Sonar for great engineering, and of course to you for listening. Thanks again.